Okay, now, this is lesson 9B, and we're on page 169 in your book. On page 169, put the whole seventh petition in a box with your pencil, and turn in your booklet to page 45, the next page. So with that prayer postures of folding your hands, lifting your hands up, kneeling flat on the ground, Lord, I want to be delivered from evil. So let's read it together, the seventh petition. But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to Himself in heaven. Here you see, deliver us from evil. I want you to write behind it, the evil one. Because ultimately, and by the way, in the Greek, it can be translated either way. Deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one. Really means the same thing, because Satan, going back to our study of Genesis 3, when he tempted Adam and Eve, all evil originated with the devil. I want you to write all these names down for the devil. Satan, devil, accuser, dragon, lion, wolf, and serpent. He's called Satan. Satan went and tempted Adam and Eve. The devil, the accuser, comes and tempts Jesus in the wilderness to take the stones, to turn them to bread. The book of Revelation is the great dragon and the beast who devours the world. Peter said, he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Jesus in the parables said, I'm the good shepherd. I lead my flock to pastures and in the sheepfold, but the wolf tries to jump in over the fence and grab the sheep. That's Satan. And of course, the serpent, the devil spoke through a serpent when he deceived Adam and Eve. Deliver us from evil. And I like this picture here because evil can come to us in many ways. To our body, to our soul, to our possessions, and to our reputation. And we want God's deliverance from all evil. And this is an important one because when we consider the evil of this world, look at the bottom of page 169, excerpts from the Large Catechism. Could someone read for us, Mitch, how's your voice today? Could you... Under excerpts from the Large Catechism, just read that paragraph for us.
This petition includes all the evil that may befall us under the devil's kingdom. Poverty, shame, death, and in short, all the tragic misery and heartache of which there is no incalculably much on earth. Since the devil is not only a liar but also a murderer, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injury to our bodies. He breaks many a man's neck and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray constantly against this archenemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour.
If we saw how the devil rages against us, we'd be terrified. But we're not to be terrified because, Lord, deliver us from all evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. Every day, deliver me, O Lord, from evil. And if you turn over to the next page, God wants us to pray for Him for everything that affects our bodily welfare and directs us to seek and expect help from Him, from no one but Him. Remember when we talked about this, one thing I should, this would be a perfect time, when he says, no one but him. It's very clear in the scripture. We're going to see that in the next overhead. We are not to pray to saints. One of the things that sets Lutherans apart from Roman Catholics is We do not pray to saints. And the reason is this. There's only one God, the Father, who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus died on the cross to be the intercessor for all of mankind. All the people that surrounded Jesus in His life, His mother Mary, the 12 apostles, and all the people that worked for Him, they were people like you and me. They're just ordinary people. They served Jesus. They were used by God to write the Old and New Testament. But they died, and they went to heaven. And they're saints in heaven, where we will join them one day. There are not many gods. There are not many intercessors. We pray directly to God through Jesus, our intercessor. So therefore, one of the things that Martin Luther did was he purged the church of the worshiping and praying to saints, saying it's not right, it's a complete waste of time, and it takes the glory away from Christ. We're not going to pray to Andrew to help us find things. We're not going to pray to Mary to help us in the hour of our death. All of that is wrong. It directs our hearts away from Christ. So Luther kept the liturgy, kept the sacraments, the hymnody of the church, take the Lord's Supper, but he immediately ended praying to saints. Because he said, this is so wrong. First of all, it's wrong because it's not taught in the Scriptures. The Scripture says, pray to God in the name of Christ. So this is one of those things that do. If you go into a Lutheran church, you're not going to see statues of saints and lighting candles to Mary or Andrew or Peter, whatever. Because that's not right to pray to saints. They can't hear us anyway because they're not God. Mary is not God. Neither is Peter, neither is John. And so that's why only through the name of Christ do we pray. This may not be a big deal to you, but if you've been raised in a Catholic setting like I was in Ohio, all my friends were Catholic, and we never could understand praying to this saint, that saint. And I remember talking to one of my next-door neighbor kids we all grew up with. They were Irish Catholics, and we were German Lutherans, and we all grew up together. They had 8 kids, we had 8 kids. All 16 of us grew up together. We're still best friends. And I have been in confirmation class, and I've been taught by the pastor that you can pray directly to God through Jesus. You don't need to pray to Mary. And I told all my Catholic friends that they should pray to Mary. And they're, what do you mean we shouldn't pray to Mary? She's the mother of God. And because you can pray directly to Jesus. And Hank, my best friend, kid I grew up with all my life, explained, well, I'll tell you what the priest told us, Dave. He says, you know, in a family, if you really want something to happen, you got to talk to the mom. If you talk to the mom, things will happen, man. Forget the dad. He doesn't know what's going on. You talk to the mom, and she'll figure things out. So we're talking to Jesus' mom to put in a good word for us. And I said, that's what your priest told you? Yeah, and I thought, well, that's not what my pastor told me. And so we pray directly to God through His Son. Now turn to page 170. Oh, yes, please.
If I had cancer, that would be the work of the devil.
Oh.
Tell me that.
No. Luther, in that quote there, he is not saying that all the bad things that happen to us is directly because the devil's trying to attack you. Because going back to the page 44, the evil that comes upon us in our world is a combination of all three of these things. Once the devil brought sin into the world, everything in creation has been spoiled. God never intended for there to be disease, sickness, accident, violence, wickedness. The devil brought sin into the world, and along with it came all of these problems. So in a general way, all this stuff has happened because the human race has fallen into sin and rebellion. And now we all have this cancer, if you will, called sin. And we have accidents, and we got wars, and people get sick, and eventually we all die. He's not saying that because you have cancer, you know, you get the devil in you or something, and this person over here broke their leg because What he's saying is the devil has brought all this suffering into the world, and we're all subject to it. So what he's saying is there's probably times unknown to us where the devil's really trying to get us, and we're not aware of one particular thing happening that is really the devil working overtime on us. We're not supposed to go around and think that this bad happened to me because the devil's trying to get me. So don't misunderstand his quote there. He's simply saying, I compare it to an avalanche. And the human race is at the bottom of the mountain. The devil's up at the top, sneering at all of us. And he goes, God, boom! He blows a thing, and here comes the avalanche. Whoosh! You know? One person gets hit by a rock. Another one gets hit by a tree. Another, you know, there seems to be no rhyme or reason to it. We can't figure it out as human beings why this person over here gets cancer, this person gets in an accident, this person over here doesn't have those problems, but something else happens. We're not supposed to try to nitpick through them. It would be like going into an avalanche and trying to figure, you know, her person, why this person over here get hit by a boulder? Why this person over here get by a tree? I mean, it's a rescue operation. Just go in and start pulling people out, right? I don't know if that answers your question. We're just living in the avalanche of horror that the devil has brought into the world. So, I'm glad you asked that, because there are people that teach wrongly about the work of the devil, that I have cancer because I've done something wrong, or the devil's trying to just work on me. No, we're just under this avalanche. And some of the finest people I know, some of the people who are the most dedicated Christian, have gone through the most suffering that you can imagine. And it's because their faith has become stronger, not because of some sin in their life. So I'm glad you asked that. Now on page 170, put the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer in a box. And turn to page 46 in your booklet. Let's read the conclusion and the meaning to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by Him. For He Himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. What I want you to do is I go into the other room and get the pearls of prayer for you. I want you guys to start copying, hopefully you can read this, all the things I have on this prayer page, and give me a second. Three answers to prayer, yes, no, and not yet. 1 John 5, 13 through 15. Well, just start writing down everything that you see here. I'll be right back. Now you see here that in the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, you got kind of three exclamation points here. We can be certain that our petitions are heard. Pray that they are pleasing to Him. He's commanded us to pray that He will hear and answer as He's promised. And He can answer them because He is King. Gives us all good gifts. He has the power to grant them so that He gets all glory. He's worthy of our praise. When you say at the end of a prayer, amen, amen, it means yes, yes, it shall be so. And this is the frustrating thing about prayer, is there are three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and not yet. We're going to see that in 1 John 5 here in a second, by His will being done. Doxology means words of praise. Whenever we pray, because we ask God's will to be done, let me use this as an example. You mentioned someone has cancer. So my mother has cancer, say. I pray to the Lord, please, Lord, I ask that you would heal my mother from cancer. Not my will be done, but your will be done. If it is God's will, yes, the prayer is answered. She recovers from cancer. If God knows it's her time to go be with her, the answer might be no, and she dies from cancer and goes to be with Christ. The answer might be not yet. A period of time has to go before it happens. The point of it is, when we ask God's will to be done, I always have to remind people, God's will is always the best. So I want God's will to be done. It's not like this, well, I prayed this prayer, okay, your will be done. No, it's like, let your will be done. Because if I'm asking for something stupid, don't answer my prayer. That's what we say, not my will be done, but yours. The best example of that is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays three times for the cup of suffering to be removed, and the Lord does not answer Jesus' prayer. And it, after he's done praying three times, his prayer, he's sweating like drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he finishes three times and prays it. At the end of that, here comes Judas ready to betray him. No one is going to say Jesus didn't have enough faith. It was God's will that he go to the cross. Turning your Bibles to 1 John 5. Now, 1 John is the epistle, not the gospel. Way almost to the book of Revelation, the back of your Bible. First John chapter 5. It's on page 1023. Brooke, how's your voice? You wanna read for? Can you read 1 John 5:13-15?
I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him.
Now, I did this last week, but go ahead and put this prayer balance up again, even though we did it already last week. Put the prayer balance. Put over here, ask anything, and over here, God's will be done. We ask for anything, but we ask that God's will be done. Remember we talked about that? That's that balance in the Christian life. It's a difficult balance to balance those two. We know we can ask anything, but we ask God's will be done, and that's a tough part of the Christian life because we want things to turn out differently than they actually do sometimes. It doesn't mean God didn't answer our prayer. His will is always the best. And that's why he's saying he'll give us whatever we ask according to his will. So we always want God's will to be done. Now down at the bottom here, I have this practical suggestion called a prayer list, a written prayer list, where you take a piece of paper. And we actually have, if you look in the sanctuary, in the narthex, when you come in the doors, we have a great big wooden box for people's prayer requests. And we have these sheets that people can fill out for prayer requests, where they have, I taught you this last week, the ACTS prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And I had those people take, to encourage people to take a couple of them, where they can put them in their Bible. It's like a half a sheet of paper. And it has blank spaces so that you can fill it in. So in your own words, you can write your words of adoration. You confess the things that are bothering you. You give him thanks for your spiritual and temporal gifts. And then specific supplications and requests. Help this person, help me in this situation, etc. So writing it down, and then people will take those sheets and leave them in their Bible. so that it can continue to be a daily prayer. And then what's really cool is when something has been answered, people will write in there how that prayer was answered. I have the alphabetical list of the entire congregation as a pastor. We've got 500 people in our church. So what I do in my daily prayers is I'll start from the letter A at one point and pray for like 20 people. Maybe I'll get to the letter C, and it'll be by name for the husband and the wife and every one of the kids, and then stop and put a line. And the next day, pick it up in the C, and get up to maybe E the next day and put a line. And then after a couple days, I get all the way to the Z's, and then I start all over again. Any kind of little thing like that that helps your prayer life have more organization to it is fantastic, because just like anything in life, if you as a teacher, if you don't have a set of things that you're going to do and you're organized, nothing will happen during the day. If you don't know, this is when we do this, this is when we have this lesson, and now we're going to go over here. The same thing in prayer. If your prayer life is just like hit and miss, like this, you know, there's no organization to it. A prayer list is an excellent way to organize your prayer life. Now, unfortunately, there were only two of these, and I thought, you know, we give these away, but let me just show you. One way we help people organize their prayer life is we have this book called The Portals of Prayer. Have any of you seen these at the back? Okay. This is the way this works. This takes you through 3 months, October, November, and December. We put these out for free. Our church buys these. People just take them. Four of these a year. Each one covers 3 months. At the front, there's a little order of family worship, and they have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Luther's morning and evening prayer. Then you can turn to, today's November 6th. It says, great is our God. It says, read Titus 2, 11 through 14. Psalm 97, there's a psalm every day. Then the theme passage, the little devotion. Then in the corner, there's a prayer. Then when you turn to the back, since this is Thursday, Thursday morning, Thursday evening, because this goes with the year, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, Advent, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, for the church, those in public office, for the sick, for anniversaries, for birthdays, special devotions in the back, like maybe when someone in your life dies, even a section how you can connect to, they have this portal of prayer on the internet. And we have this at our house on the caddy in the middle of the table with the salt and the pepper. You have to have it somewhere where it's easy to get to. You can't have it hidden away somewhere. It's got to be like on the table. And what's cool sometimes, it'll have coffee stains on it because we're using it, you know. One of the kids picks it up and they got ketchup on their fingers and there's ketchup. And that's okay because it's being used, okay. None of my kids are home anymore except for Michelle. But you can take this devotion, and I'm not kidding, you can do it in 5 to 10 minutes. This does not take an hour to do this, okay? Now, of course, in order to look up, you know, Titus 2 and Psalm 97, you also have to have a Bible sitting there. The thing is, you can still use this devotional guide even if you don't have the Bible there, because you can still read the scripture, read the devotion, read the prayer and the prayers in the back, even if you don't have a Bible. But it's best to have the Bible. Now, did any of you, have you ever picked up one of these? Do you guys have one of these? Okay. Now I only have two. Do you guys have? Okay.
I can always pick up one after church.
Okay. You guys can take a look at that.
She gets stacks of
them. I'm sure, yeah. We hand these out every 3 months. We have to hand them out to people, you know. And what I'm saying is what everything we've talked about tonight is all just blowing in the wind, okay? And it's just me up here going like this. Unless you pray. right? Otherwise, it's like you just were at a class and you go home, hey, yeah, that guy talked about praying. Yeah, wouldn't that be a great idea to pray? Yeah, that's cool, okay? What's that tell you? You know? So I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just saying that this is the daily frustration of a pastor to encourage people, read your scriptures, pray. This is your spiritual prescription. It's kind of like my doctor, if he gave me the medicine, and I come in and I'm not feeling so well, he said, did you take all that medicine? Well, no. Why not? I told you to take it. Take your spiritual medicine, hear the word of God, and pray. The doctor says an apple a day keeps... The doctor, what is that what it is? Apple a day keeps... The teacher says the apple a day keeps the doctor away. I tell people a psalm a day keeps the blues away. It really does. A psalm a day keeps the blues away. So having said that... To conclude here this evening, look at pages 172 through 175. Let me explain something here. Take your pencil and all the canticles, just circle the titles of them. Page 172, circle Benedictus. Page 173, Te Deum Laudamus. Continue with me. 174, Magnificat. And 175, Nunc Dimittis and Gloria Patri. That's it. These are all prayers. Go back to page 174. These are prayers and canticles that come... A canticle is a song. That comes right out of the Scripture. Turn to page 172. By Benedictus write the prayer... And Psalm of Zechariah. The prayer and Psalm of Zechariah. This whole thing, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people to redeem them, raised up a mighty Savior born of the house of his servant David. And then halfway, two-thirds of the way down, he's speaking about his son, John the Baptist. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. The whole Benedictus is italicized. Go down to the paragraph under that and underline the first sentence. Zechariah prophesied this hymn at the birth of his son, John the Baptist, and underline Luke 1, 68 through 79. This is verbatim out of Luke 1. In parts of the order of Vespers, we sing this verbatim exactly the way you see it here, right out of Luke chapter 1. It's a prayer and a psalm at the same time. Then look at page 173, where it says the Te Deum Laudamus. Right to the right of that, a song creed. A song creed. Creed is C-R-E-E-D. We confess the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We also confess the Nicene Creed, Lord of Lords, Light of Light, and once a year we confess the Athanasian Creed. The Te Deum is the creed put into a song. We are actually singing this Sunday at the 8 o'clock service in the order of Matins. We praise thee, O God, we acknowledge thee be the Lord. This is a compilation of many places in both the Old and New Testament which speak about the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they put it together in a hymn that takes the place of a creed. So on the Sundays that we sing the Te Deum Laudamus, we don't speak the creed because here we are singing the creed. It goes over to the next page. That's the Te Deum. By the way, all these canticles were named, I should have told you this from the beginning, with the Latin word in the Latin Bible that begins it. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. In Latin is the word Benedictus. In Latin, we praise thee, O God, is Te Deum Laudamus. Page 174. Magnificat. By Magnificat write the Song of the Virgin Mary. The Song of the Virgin Mary. In Latin, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, is what the Latin says. Magnificat. She is rejoicing in God her Savior that she has conceived in her womb the Virgin Mary. That's what the Magnificat is. We also sing this just exactly as Mary spoke it, as a hymn and a prayer. At the bottom of the Magnificat, underline the sentence there. The pregnant Virgin Mary prophesied this hymn when she visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. Luke 1:46 through 55. Then on page 175, circle the Nunc Dimittis. In Latin, that means, now let me depart. This is the song of Simeon. Not Simon, Simeon. S-I-M-E-O-N. Song of Simeon. Let your servant not depart in peace. Underline the first sentence under that. Simeon prophesied this hymn when Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus to the temple for his presentation. Luke 2:29-32. We sing this at the end of this paragraph. We sing this after we've taken Holy Communion and received Christ's body and blood in the sacrament. We can now depart this life into certainty of salvation. We always sing this after communion. This is why. Old man Simeon held the 8-day-old baby of Jesus in his hands and says, now I have seen my salvation, and this child is the Savior of the world. We come up, we kneel, we take the Lord's Supper, Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and now my eyes have seen my salvation in this gift, and I can depart in peace. That's why we sing the Nunc Dimittis after we've taken Holy Communion. And the last one, circle the Gloria Patri, comes from the Latin glory to the Father. This is the shortest and most often used. It's a doxology, of praise to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is used in conjunction with psalms, at the end of hymns, after a prayer. Doxology means words of praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Look how I can demonstrate that with my arms. It's like for the little kids who said I was crazy. It was, it is, ever shall be. From there to there and now. All the way through. Then, now, always will be. And that's called the Gloria Patri. Let me explain something about these liturgical chants. You will hear all of these sung and prayed in Lutheran churches, Catholic churches, Anglican churches, Episcopal. This isn't a Lutheran thing, okay? This is a liturgical, ecumenical thing. And the melodies won't always be the same. So, we might be singing in the Lutheran church, glory be to the Father and to the Son. You might go into the Episcopalian church, and they're singing, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. There's different hymn tones. Not all the hymn chants are the same. So when we say the liturgy is the same, there are slightly different ways to sing it. And that's perfectly appropriate. God didn't drop down one melody that has to be sung. That's, we use our Christian freedom to sing these in such a way that brings the glory to the words that we're singing. The liturgy remains the same, but the way it's sung is slightly different. Although, I'll tell you, if you go to a Roman Catholic church, the Episcopalian church and a Lutheran church, and you know one of them, you can follow along pretty well. I've gone to my friends' Catholic churches, when they were getting married and everything, and I could pretty much kind of sing the liturgy with them because it was kind of similar to ours. And the same thing when I've gone to Episcopalian churches, the liturgy is somewhat similar. Even the melodies are a little bit familiar. But the liturgy, these canticles, is what we're talking about. We have concluded our lesson tonight on prayer. And hopefully you've gained an insight into what we began with again. To go back to this, began with it, we conclude with it. That if you really want a full Christian life every day, by word, he speaks to you, and in prayer, you speak to him. And then you're going to be having a two-way conversation between you and the Lord every single day. Thank you for being here. Next week, we're going to take up baptism, the sacrament of baptism. And if you look at your assignment sheet at the front, you see that we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about baptism. Then we'll have off over Thanksgiving, of course. And then we pretty much have just to go through confession and the sacrament of the altar. And at bottom, I've got to get this movie, Martin Luther Heretic. I want to try to get it burned onto a DVD and pass it around so all of you can go home and watch this hour-long movie about Luther and his theology. All I have it on is a VHS tape. And no one has VHS players anymore. You guys do what I do, but none of these young people do. You have one?
You want to use my VHS player?
Well then, you guys do have VHS players? Okay, before you leave, I'm going to give you the old VHS version so you can go home this week and watch it and then bring it back with you. And I've got two. One is black and white and one is color. I'll give you the black and white one and then the color, and we'll exchange them after we're done. What we do is, I'll let you take them home, watch them, give you a week to listen, but bring them back because we can spread them around. But I think these guys only have DVD players, right? You do? Okay. Because I'm looking for it on DVD too. So that part of the class is watching this movie on Luther as well. So let's close with the prayer on page 142. It's 2 minutes after 9. So thank you for your attention about prayer. Page 142. Let us pray. Lord, because you have promised to give what we ask in the name of your only begotten Son, teach us rightly to pray and with all your saints to offer you our adoration and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Have a great evening.